Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Rupert Virko, CEO of Cobra Resources. Welcome back to the podcast, Rupert.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having me again.
Cobra has had a busy week with two significant updates from its Bowen project in South Australia. The company reported further positive metallurgical results, showcasing high recoveries of ionic rare earth elements, REEs, through low-cost in-situ recovery methods. Bench-scale testing demonstrated 68% recoveries for magnet rare earths and 62% for heavy rare earths, with impressive recovery rates achieved within 24 hours. These results highlight Bowland's permeable sands as a major advantage, enabling high productivity, reduced extraction costs, and minimal acid consumption. Following these promising results, Cobra has now commenced resource-focused air core drilling to define the scale of the mineralization and underpin a maiden resource for a scoping study in late 2025. The initial 20-hole, 1,000-metre program targets extensions of high-grade mineralisation, with early geological observations already intersecting Zone 3 mineralisation approximately 1 kilometre south of previous drilling. This is part of a funded 12,000-metre program aimed at building confidence in the resource and advancing the project's strategic potential as a low-cost, scalable operation. Sounds like things are progressing well there, Rupert. Please walk us through these latest findings.
Yeah, sure, Phil. Well, I suppose firstly, everyone wants to see an exploration company out drilling, and on the back of a very proactive stakeholder engagement session up at Woodna last week, we've managed to get out in the field and get some drilling in before Christmas, which is fantastic. And that drilling's progressing very well. And yes, we're very bullish about prospects, particularly after some further upside with our initial bench scale study, where the assays of residues increased that overall recovery from 57% to 68%, which is exceptional considering we're doing that through an ISR process and not a typical vat leach process, which you would normally assume for an ionic rare earth system. The second study, because after our first bench scale, which I think we've spoken about before, Phil, and discussed in detail, but if there was one kink in our armour, it was the permeabilities. And the permeabilities in that second test that we only ran for 24 hours have been exceptional, and they've delivered recoveries of 31% heavies and 22% for magnet rare earths within 24 hours. And from an ISR standpoint, that's phenomenal. And I think the best way to put it in comparison is if we were to look at a standard desorption test for ionic systems, you normally run at a 4% solid to solution density ratio. And that enables you to get very rapid recoveries, but it's lots and lots of liquor to be able to achieve those recoveries. What we're doing is we're running a liquor and circulating it through the ore body without moving the ore body. So it's less liquor and less acid, and the resulting recoveries are fantastic because we're utilizing the permeability and not completely saturating it. So we're really thrilled with those results, and we really think it's demonstrating one, productivity upside, but really low cost metrics for recovery that has huge sustainability and environmental benefits.
Yeah, and you've done this a different way. You know, most explorers sort of slash producers would define the resource, then go into the metallurgy, whereas you've focused on the metallurgy first. You've already kind of de-risked those key features of the deposit, and now you're trying to define the resource, right? So you've already got some of the holes underway, and you're aiming for, you know, to get some under your belt. So just talk us through what the next steps are. You're well funded to advance the Bowen project, but presumably the next steps after drilling will be to then sort of aim towards a scoping study of some description. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So look, there's a few key components that we really need to address in the next 12 months to support that scoping study. One is to demonstrate those permeabilities in the field. We've already sunken the cost to get that well field in the field, and the baseline environmentals are over 3/4 of the way complete to be able to support that work. So we hope to be doing that mid next year. The resource drilling that we're doing at present is to define that resource to support the economic evaluation. This initial drilling is roughly 20 holes for, let's say, 1,000 metres that we'll complete in the next week. And then on we'll be back in the field in early January to build on that drilling and to deliver up to 12,000 metres. So from a Cobra shareholder's perspective, it's a pretty exciting time to deliver all of those or the news flow that we have coming. What else do we have to do? Well, look, we need to scale up met testing now. We need to deliver over greater areas of that future resource. And we want to define or produce significant products. So we're not far off of producing our first saleable mixed rare earth carbonate. I'd like to think that those results are expected to the market fairly soon. That work is with ANSTO and looking really promising. And on the back of that, we need to produce enough mixed rare earth carbonate for future off-takers to be able to test and evaluate. So they're the key drivers that we're going to focus on in the short and near term.
Ripple, all this drilling over, I mean, we discussed it the last time, I think, it's over quite an extensive area. You know, we're talking thousands of kilometres, I think, in terms of the area. What caused this geological anomaly that all of this stuff is expected to be the same? I mean, obviously there's going to be opportunities where you drill in at the edges and maybe, okay, it's not there, it stops, it's finished. But, you know, you have thousands and thousands of square kilometers of this situation. So why did it happen in the first place? Because, I mean, I don't think you're expecting any surprises from this drilling, and really we shouldn't be. It really is drill to test to say, okay, this anomaly is as we expected.
Yeah, good questions, Kevin. Well, one, I think how big could this be is certainly a question we want to test. And at the end of this drilling, we mightn't even get there. But look, geologically, why is this unique? Why is it different? Why is it enabling in situ recovery? Well, firstly, Kevin, we have enriched granites. These granites are not only radioactive, but they're enriched in rare earths. During radioactive decay and weathering, they've broken down. Those rare earths have been mobilized through the formation of acidic conditions. So the breakdown of sulfides has made acid. That's weathered and leached out the rare earths. And they've found their way into these ancient river systems or paleo channels. And these paleo channels at a point in the geological time frame called the Eocene were lustrine or shallow marine environments. And what happens in these marine environments is they deposit a lot of organic detritus or really clay-rich and carbon-rich material. And that's been deposited within sand components. And those sand components, as the marine system has regressed and transgressed, have then deposited impermeable clay bands above it. And that's the perfect scenario for, one, our ionic rare earths, but it also makes it hugely unique. Not many other, no one else globally has assessed a system like this. And it also means that they're extensive. So we have a 2,000 square kilometer footprint of licenses over this prospective geology. And Boland is hopefully just the start for us, Kevin.
Yeah, so it isn't sort of, oh, there it is, it's in this kilometer, but it's not in the next kilometer, especially based on what you've just said. It has been a, maybe not a deep sea, but an amount of water lying on the surface, and then obviously it's regressed and is no longer there.
Well, look, I think we expect it to be laterally extensive. I think we're not only just looking for enriched grades, but we're also looking for the right conditions to create that permeability. And so there will be areas where we may see changes in that sequence that may not be as productive or prospective as other areas for that, but we certainly are talking kilometres and kilometres and not hundreds of meters, Kevin. So yeah, there's going to be great geological continuity, and it's something that we're really excited to go out and define. But as Phil said earlier, I think the thing that we really wanted to address as a company is investment risk. A lot of investors have been burnt on rare earth projects in the past, and they've generally been burnt at that metallurgical point. So rare earths aren't rare. Across the globe, there's a number of rare earth
Rare
projects.
earths aren't rare. We should take that clip out.
Well, no, I think it's important because there's plenty of ionic systems, but what is rare and what's as rare as hen's teeth, Kevin, is economically viable rare earth projects. And what makes them economically viable? Simple metallurgy, low cost acid consumption, low impurities, and low environmental risk. And they're the key attributes that we've been focused on from a de-risking standpoint, and we feel like we've ticked the box on all of them. So we're growing in confidence that we can deliver a bottom quartile economic plan in our scoping study as we progress this opportunity.
So, as you said, rare earths are not rare. So the scenario is more about the ability to extract them in an economic way than it is finding them. And obviously, from what you've already proved and proved in the lab, and now you need to prove on site, is that this is economically viable to extract with low acid consumption. Is that a first
Absolutely. And
synopsis?
I think the main thing is, Kevin, is look, there's lots of interest in the low cost potential for ionic systems, but the real true challenge with ionic clays is they require a lot of water. Clays are hard to handle, they're hard to process. You need to stop them from binding as you're trying to get your acid into them in a vat system, and then you need to remove that water because the clay will swell, it will hold that water. But then to put it in a tailings dam or to rehabilitate what you've mined, you've got to get all that water out and you've got to be able to treat that water in an environmentally considerate way. And you've got to be able to try and recycle it. And it's a huge amount of water, a huge amount of clay that you've got to treat, handle, rehandle, and manage in a considerate way. And that's a really challenging thing to do. And our opportunity with in situ recovery, Kevin, bypasses all of those challenges. And that's why our opportunity is so great.
And you're still going to be, your anticipation is that you're still going to be using the brackish water that is underground in these projects.
That's certainly the plan. We will have to do a number of water studies. We've already sort of commenced some of that work. We will be doing work in the future with a group out of the University of Manchester called Water Cycle Technologies. They will look not only at precipitation, but a process called preconditioning. So that's where we would look at using membrane desorption to treat some of that water before we start the acid or the lixiviant treating process of the ore body. So important things to focus on because we don't want technical challenges like that come making us become unstuck at important times of operational progress.
So after the last raise, how much cash have you got in the bank, or not physical cash? How much time have you got to get to the steps that you were discussing now that you raised the money?
Yeah, sure. So we still have a prospectus to publish for the settlement of the Tranche 2 funds. So that will be in the bank in mid-January, but that gives us a good 12 months of significant news flow. So where are we going to be in 12 months? We'd like to think that this will get us to that scoping study. So there's a plenty of freeboard for investors to be able to purchase on market without the fear of another placing coming anytime soon.
Very good. And what's your plans over the holidays then? Is Barbie and off to the seaside?
Oh, mate, yeah, I'm very keen to get to the ocean. And instead of a Sunday roast, it'll be a few crayfish on the coals. And I love my
Shrimp
barbie. I
on
love
the
my fishing.
Barbie, as they say.
Yeah, they'll be big shrimp. The crayfish down here are generally in the kilos. So,
Are you going to go and catch the crayfish yourself? We had one guest who was very keen to do this.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I'm a very avid diver and I love getting under the
Okay,
water. Sorry,
cool.
I'll be bagging and tagging my own crayfish, that's for sure.
Very good. What else do you catch?
Anything, mate, scallops. We're going to Coffin Bay, so we'll be enjoying some world-class oysters down there and look, whiting, lots of different fish. We'll hopefully try and stay away from the men in grey suits. They're a little bit more intimidating and too big for me, but great part of the world, lots of tuna, and very excited to spend a few days down there with the family and eating some of South Australia's great produce.
So you get the all clear from the wife then to go diving because you come back with the goodies to eat.
Yes, she'd probably prefer me not to be as reckless as what I am sometimes, and she probably doesn't appreciate me leaving her with the kids the whole time on holidays to do it. But no, it's great fun, and we love getting out in the boat with the family and the kids, and they all really enjoy it. And yeah, we're very fortunate to be able to have the lifestyle over here that really does enable that, and enjoy some great produce. And yeah, it really makes you appreciate where your food comes from when you can go and get it in your backyard.
When you can go and catch it yourself, it's a bit of a different ordeal, isn't it? It's tremendous.
Good
Very good.
point.
Well, we wish you a Merry Christmas anyway. And
You
as you
too,
said,
gents.
this drilling's going to be done in the next few days, probably the first 1,000 meters, and then obviously start in January with a new place, I presume, for the drilling. So we wish you a Merry Christmas, and we look forward to speaking to you in the new year about more drilling, more results, and some of the other chemical stuff you talked about in terms of getting the stuff out.
Right, no problems, guys. Merry Christmas, Phil. Merry Christmas,
Cheers.
Kevin. Thank you very much
Cheers.
for your time.
Rupert Virchow, CEO of Cobra Resources, thanks very much for appearing on the podcast.
Thanks, guys.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.